You're listening to Hooked on Startups, where every week you'll hear from some of the most talented, inspiring, and successful entrepreneurs who share their real life stories, how they overcame challenges and failures, and how they mastered success. Get ready for some of the best business tips, tricks and tactics, and some frank, unscripted discussions. Here's your host, Matthew Sullivan.
On Hooked on Startups this week, we have none other than the illustrious Chris Pistorius. Chris, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. You got my name right the first time. So that's
well, I tell you what,
sign.
It is. It's such a sort of, it sounds like victorious. It's
yes,
this sort of combination
like
of Latin. I actually did look it up because I'm, because I've got so much time on my hands. Apparently, it's Latin. Pistor is Latin for baker, I believe.
Yeah, I've heard that. I've heard a couple of different versions of between German and South African and Greek. I don't know. It depends who you ask.
It's Latinized. And of course, there was that famous, was it Oscar Pistorius?
Yes, yes.
The guy with the blades.
Yes, Blade Runner.
Yeah, absolutely fantastic. Well, welcome. All of you,
thank
welcome.
You. Yes. Thank you.
So I've got my sort of cheat sheet here, which really just all it talks about is just skill in marketing, design, ads, digital marketing, digital strategies. As you can see from your hat, you're CEO and owner, founder, boss of Kickstart Dental Marketing. So first of all, what made you get started into dental marketing?
I'm asked that a lot, actually.
Was it the love of the sound of drills? Did you watch Marathon
no.
Man over and over again and think, I have to try and recover this?
What's ironic is that I really hate being in a dental office at all. Even when I go to visit my clients, it's like I'm not a dentist person. I mean, I go to the dentist, of course, but I don't like it. Okay. So it wasn't because of my love of dentistry, let's put it that way. But no, when I first started this agency almost, I guess, a little over 12 years ago now, I kind of left corporate America and I had a nice job and it was pretty safe. And at the time I had two little kids at home and I decided to jump ship and start my own agency.
And is that because you wanted your wife just to go, Chris, what a brilliant idea.
It was quite the opposite of that, actually. She thought I was nuts.
Yes.
So, yeah, but it was just, you know, I knew I wasn't wired for corporate America my whole life and the grind. And I just wanted more out of my career, really.
Yes.
But what's funny is that when I started the agency, and I took on anybody I could, anybody that would pay me and would be willing to let me learn.
When was it? Sorry to interrupt. But big question. Did you make the leap or did you sort of, or were you pushed?
I wasn't pushed at all. No. But I made the leap. I kind of knew I was going to do it. I mean, it was 12 years ago this month, actually.
Yeah.
This is our 12th year anniversary. But I knew I was going to do it a few months prior. So I kind of had some ducks in a row in terms of having clients at least ready to be on our platform, if you will, right? But, you know, it was a lot of winging it and just trying to figure things out in the beginning. But that's how I got into dentistry is that we took on anybody that would pay us. And every time we did another industry, we'd have to learn the industry, right? Like the lingo and what works, what doesn't. And sometimes, unfortunately, by the time we figured it out, it was too late and the client wasn't getting the results that they wanted. So I was like, look, we've got to niche this down and really be an expert in something, right?
How do you market dental offices? Do you have an ad that says, I promise you it will hurt you more than me? Just kidding.
I might use that. That's pretty good, actually.
In bracket, right. Just kidding. Come and find out.
We've got a lot of cool strategies that we use. Everything that we do is digital marketing. So think of us as like the website, social media, review management, online presence kind of people. And we get pretty creative with that stuff. And we actually have clients in Canada as well. And what's interesting is that they have a set of laws in Canada that really restrict on how you can market a dental practice.
Yes.
You can't do certain things like you can do here in the United States. So just learning nuances like that and legalities in the U.S. in terms of like HIPAA laws, things like that is huge.
It is to be able to specialize. It's brilliant over here because, I mean, I've been over here for 7 or 8 years now.
Yeah.
And it's great. The marketing, I mean, as a dental office, you can say, don't go down to Dr. Schwartz. He's awful. We're much better. Come to us.
Right.
You know, and you can actually say stuff like that.
Yeah.
So you got much more flexibility. But 12 years ago, so that would have been what, sort of 2007, something, you know, is that right? No, 2009.
Yeah, let's see. 2009, right. Yeah.
I was applying a different set of mathematical rules.
Right, right. I can tell it's advanced mathematics.
Advanced mathematics. Yes. The world will catch up at some point. I'm just trying to think about who were the major players in terms of digital, because this whole concept of digital advertising then probably would have been something like AdWords or because I don't think Facebook had any real sort of defined platform. Right. So you started off with a new client base. You've got to think of new strategies and you've got a completely open field in terms of what's out there. So where did you start?
With a blank piece of paper for the most part, but no, I mean, I had been in marketing for years. I used to work for America Online, AOL, back in their heyday. That's really where I got my start in digital marketing. And, you know, back then, really nobody knew what the heck to buy or sell online. They just knew they needed to be a part of the internet, right? And so we sold basically back then, it was just banner ads. And
yeah, that's right. God,
so we just put them anywhere we could and hope for the best for our clients. And we'd track things like how many times somebody saw the ad or how many times somebody clicked the ad, basic things like that.
That's right.
And everybody thought we were heroes and we weren't. But in terms of dental marketing strategy, you know, I've been working with local businesses, you know, pretty much all my career. So I understood that's not so much about branding and building a brand. I mean, that's important even in local marketing, but really it's all results-driven marketing and direct marketing and getting people into your store, into your office, whatever it may be. And so I sat down and designed a set of strategies that I thought to do that, then it's worked out very well thus far.
And you stayed with dental marketing. I mean, obviously it's a very big, I'm not sure if you would describe it as a niche business, but are you not tempted to sort of move into other verticals or like doctors, you know, dentists, obviously there's other types of healthcare providers where I guess their skill set is pretty much focused on drilling large holes in your teeth as opposed to figuring out how to market themselves.
Yeah, well, that's it. And you just hit the nail on the head. And then, I've entertained ideas of broadening it, but I've never really seen the need for it. You know, in fact, I was very close to doing a veterinary marketing business because I'm very passionate about animals and an animal lover. And I really wanted to try that, but I didn't do it. But the thing is that these kids that go to dental school, they come out as dentists, right? They're very good at that. The problem is that they learn very little about business or running a business. And one of those things is marketing. And that's in the United States, that's one of the biggest killer of small businesses is knowing how to be a technician in your business and doing the work really well, but not understanding how to grow and scale and hire and fire and all of that other stuff, marketing certainly. And that's why most businesses fail. So there was definitely a need for this in dentistry because like other small businesses, maybe even more so, you know, these dentists just want to be a dentist. They don't want to figure out how to market themselves and spend money here, there, or anywhere else. And that's where we fit in nicely for them.
Yeah. And I think really that's true because absolutely right that running a dental practice is a business. Now, you can come in as an associate or as a partner.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And in many cases, you know, the practice that you join will probably have that infrastructure in place. But as you grow and as you set up your own business, this whole concept of digital marketing, if we sort of look at where we are today, where are the most effective strategies for this vertical? Because I would imagine if it works for something as narrow as dental practitioners, you could apply that same logic to others. And I'm sure that my listener or my viewer, because I'm sure I have at least one on this show, would be absolutely fascinated to find out, is it AdWords? Is it Facebook? Is it a combination of online and offline? Is it Instagram showing pictures of before and after? Where do you find the real impact? And what's most surprising? I'm going to continue with questions. I'm never going to let you answer. But what is the most surprising outcome of all of the work that you've done? The thing that really made you think, I never expected that.
The thing that really impacts me the most is we kind of have a motto here of leaving dentists better off than when we found them, right? In terms of their overall financial health in terms of their business and also personally in terms of what are 10 more patients a month mean for you personally too, right? And so I think what really keeps me going and motivated are the folks that we pick up that are struggling with one practice maybe. And we see over months and years that they stay with us and they grow. And not only is that practice successful, but they buy other practices. And so now they own two or three or even more practices. And in a very short amount of time, they've gone from struggling to that. And I know that we at least have a small part in that. And that is really cool. And that's what really keeps me going every day, is that we have tons of stories like that. It's just cool. We're a startup atmosphere, even though we've been in here 12 years and we're a boutique agency. We only take on so many new clients a year, and we try to keep it really close knit and kind of done from scratch type marketing. But that's the thing that really gets me going.
What is the sort of difference? Because I would have thought that referral marketing would be a very powerful. So that's very offline. And how much of a role has referral marketing played? Because digital marketing is where you're casting a net very wide and you're trying to bring in people really using a different sort of set of messages than you would do. So how much of your overall strategy is based on referral as opposed to sort of general digital marketing?
Yeah, you'd be surprised at how much digital does blend into referral though. And you're right when you say that, you know, especially with the dental practice, almost always a majority of their new patients come from referrals, come from family members, friends, whatever it may be. And that should be that way. However, we're in this digital age where everybody can see everything. So if Aunt Sally refers me to a dental practice, I'm not just going to take her word anymore and pick up the phone and call. You know what I'm going to do is I'm going to go online and I'm going to check them out. I'm going to look at their website. I'm going to look at their online reviews. I'm going to look at all kinds of stuff before I even pick up the phone and call them. So a lot of what we do not only attracts new patients, but it also tells a compelling story for people like referrals, so that they're not just found, but they also want to be chosen. So we help them build great online reviews from their patients. In fact, we're about ready to launch a brand new way to get video reviews from patients and just help tell their story to people. So there is a blend there of even digital marketing helping out with referral patients too.
And do you think that people trust other referrals less now than they trust online reviews? So historically, you'd say you'd knock on your neighbor's door and say, do you know a good dentist if I've just moved to the area? Now, do I trust that person more or less than the Trustpilot reviews or the Google reviews?
Right. You know, that's a good question. I think it depends on the person, but I also believe that it depends on the source. Google reviews are pretty legit. You know, a few years ago, they had a little spam issue where people could go in and fraudulently put reviews. That's become harder to do now. Yelp is really the leader in that. They're so strict with their reviews that sometimes a lot of actual real reviews get filtered out because they show them as spam. But there's other sources that aren't as reliable that still allow those types of reviews. But I think on a trust factor, I think we're in a pretty good landscape now where people are believing those reviews. And especially the video reviews where they can actually see somebody and feel the emotion and see what they went through. Video reviews help a ton.
And those are video reviews that you put together, and those are the ones that you feature on the, I mean, because all of these things that you're talking about here are relevant to all sorts of other businesses, you know, businesses where trust, I think, is the primary driver. So you've got price-driven purchase decisions, you've got trust-driven, you've got location, all sorts of people buy things for all sorts of reasons. But would you say that trust is a primary driver for your particular vertical?
Yeah, no question, especially with COVID. People want to be able to see and feel where they're about ready to take their family for a health-related service, right? So video allows us to show them that. And we really do our best to get doctors to do a quick 2-minute video on their iPhone if they need to, just to introduce themselves to the practice. And because at the end of the day, people still buy from people. And I know dentistry, you don't feel like you're buying something, but you really are. And if people do buy from people and you really believe that, then you need to make your online presence as personable as possible. And video is a huge way to be able to do that.
So that sort of moves it, because the traditional understanding of digital marketing is essentially distanced marketing or depersonalized marketing, where you're trying to game the system to a certain extent. And what I mean by that is that you're using Google AdWords. So when someone types in the word dentist, you go, aha, here's an ad.
Right.
So what you're saying, really, this has now evolved. So it's almost gone full circle, where you're just moving back to people dealing on a mano a mano basis, but through a digital medium.
That's absolutely right. And we do Google Ads as well. You know, it's a very complex beast, Google Ads. And for us, it's just typing in the word a dentist in a city isn't necessarily going to be a dental patient, right? It could be some kid writing a term paper. So we really try to take some strategy and bid on long-term keywords, like how much is a root canal or how many days do I have to have Invisalign on? Long-term search words like that. But
yes,
you're right. And we try to make this whole strategy as personable as possible. And there's 100 dentists in every city, right? And we don't believe a dentist is a dentist. We believe each dentist has a unique selling proposition of why they're different and why they're better than their competition. And the more clear that story is, the easier it is to market that practice. So that's where we really try to start. And then we market to whatever we can with that USP. And in some cases, it's, you know, we just signed on with a dentist who does at-home dental care. They do house calls, which is unheard of. They do some special needs dentistry, things like that. So we really try to target that type of a market to help them stick out from the crowd a little bit.
And how much is that of those sort of decisions are driven by you and how many are driven by them? So in other words, how many dentists say, I think this is going to be my unique selling point? How many people that you come across are not familiar with that term, with that concept, with that need?
I would say 98.9% of people have no idea what I'm talking about when I say unique selling proposition. And dentists especially, because again, they're not in the mindset of selling a product or a service. And they shouldn't be. They're really not. What they are, though, is they're selling a solution to a problem. You know, somebody has a toothache. Somebody wants to have a better smile. That's a solution to a problem. And so sometimes I'll pull analytical data and I said, you know, Dr. Jones, there's 112 dentists within a 3-mile radius of your office. What are we going to do to be able to compete with those people? And I get kind of that, you know, deer in the headlights look. And it's like, yes. Well, that's what we have to figure out first. And that really is the first step of our process.
And you've got a certain advantage as a dentist because it is a person-to-person transaction. Yep. The transaction is, do I trust this person with my dental care? Now, how do your programs work with industries which don't have that personal touch? So let's take something like finance, for example, or something where there's still that requirement for trust, but you haven't got the benefit of actually having the ability to, or maybe it works. Do videos work just as well where someone's not going to be having that same close interaction with you?
Yeah, I mean, studies show that it does. I mean, obviously, I haven't done a marketing campaign outside of dentistry for a while, but I do know I'm part of a group that's a bunch of other agencies like mine, but they focus on different industries. And we get together every quarter and talk about trends and best practices and things that are working and things that aren't. And I can tell you that across the board, video is a big way. I mean, I know a guy that runs a marketing agency for tax pros, right? Yeah. And they're using video. So, you know, I think if a tax pro can use video and benefit themselves, just about anybody could.
And do you think that's a result just generally of people being saturated by ad after ad after ad, saying the same thing in whatever industry, you know, you care to mention?
Yeah, without question. I mean, the big news in marketing right now is the latest update to the iPhone, right? Where people are able to opt out from Facebook tracking your every move and serving you ads based on your behavior, right? And I think a lot of businesses that relied on that type of marketing, which we did not, are going to have a tough time at it. And they're going to have to probably change their ways. So I think what we're seeing in the market is people are kind of tired of going to a hotel's website and then jumping onto Facebook and all of a sudden you see ads from that hotel for the next few days.
Yes.
It's kind of creepy a little bit, but I just don't think people like it. And I'm not sure that's the best way to effectively market a local business.
And I mean, we should expand on that because that's actually a fundamental change in the way that Facebook has to operate. Right. Can you tell us a bit more? I mean, because I think it is, I mean, certainly it's the beginning or it's the sort of definition of the tension between those two huge companies, between Apple and Facebook. And this will impact millions and millions of advertisers who rely on precisely that, the ability to serve ads based on cookies, based on you going to a site, picking up this sort of cookie that says, I looked at this hotel, so forevermore, you know.
Right.
So explain what's happening, because it's only recently happened.
Yeah. So what's happening, Bay, you just said it. I mean, essentially in the past with Facebook, especially, they can track where you go, what you do. And these cookies are put onto your local computer, if you will, in a sense, and they know what websites you've been to. And so then when you hit Facebook, it can read what products and services you've looked at or shopped for, and it can then serve ads to you personally based on your search history. Well, now with Apple's most recent update, they can't do that any longer. You have to physically opt in to allow that to happen. And most people don't want that to happen, so they don't let it happen. Now, the other side of Facebook, though, that the way that we use it for our market is that when you sign up for Facebook, you pretty much tell them your life story when you sign up. They know how old you are, where you live, how many kids you have, all kinds of stuff, because the brilliance behind it is because your other people are going to see that, people that you haven't seen for years. And, you know, you want to keep them up to date on what's going on. So that information is very accurate. So when we use Facebook ads for a dental practice, we target things like age, if they own their own home, where they live, if yes. they're brand new parents. And that's the kind of data that I believe anyway, really drives results. And that's the way that we use it. We don't really do remarketing in terms of where they've been and where they've shopped. We're more interested in the fundamentals about their demographic profile.
And on that note, there's, you touched on two things. You talk about audience selection and you talk about copy, or there's the message.
Right.
What is more important?
Both. But no, if I had to pick one or the other, it would be the copy for sure.
Yeah, I think so. Because there's the question is you still have to have that message. So even though you can target specific demographics based on age, geography, you know, the fact that I like watching the wives of dental officers in New York, there's some new show or something, you know, so, but it is the copy, the message. And what do you think is the message that resonates best with all of the ads that you run? Is there some sort of magic or some clear strategy that works pretty much across the board for most
no,
people that you work?
No, there isn't. There really isn't. What works for one dental practice may not work for another. Each market is a little different. And that's one of the benefits of partnering with a company like mine, shameless plug.
Yeah.
Is that we've got
dental practice.
Yes, right. We've got 12 years of experience in running these types of campaigns and in all kinds of different size markets, from tier one cities to tier three cities.
Yes.
And we've got the history of those campaigns, and we can see what's worked well and what hasn't worked well in the past for similar size markets. So that allows us to kind of hit the ground running. You know, we still test everything and we make changes on the fly as we go, but we have a pretty good idea what's going to work. You know, it's not always that simple, but definitely helps.
Yeah, and you're right. So, I mean, the key word there is testing.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of assumption that goes into marketing. You know, we assume, based on an audience of one or a sample of one, in other words, me, that if I like this, then everyone else right. out there will like this.
Right.
So, from your perspective, talking to dentists, how difficult is it to get across that or to get over that sort of view that the dentist always knows best?
You know, I'm surprised by it because it doesn't happen very often in dentistry. Maybe we're getting a little bit better at setting the expectations of, hey, we're the experts, kind of follow our lead here. But when I was doing other industries, you know, it was hard sometimes, like attorneys especially.
Yes.
Is that, you know, hey, this is the type of television ad that I like. This is the one that I want to run. Well, it doesn't matter what you like.
Yes.
It's what the consensus of your potential customers like. And sometimes that's a tough conversation to have. And, you know, early on, I'd made the mistake of kind of allowing that to happen because guess what? I wanted to be paid, right? Well, now that we've got at least a little bit of success, we kind of have those conversations of, look, you're not going to run this show. You need to rely on us to do this for you. We'll get better results. And if that's not the way you want it to run, then maybe we're not the best fit. So we have very candid conversations about strategy. And most of the time, we don't have any feedback at all from that. They trust us and we've been around for a long time. And I think that that helps too.
Yeah. And again, that also touches on something else, just on a wider spectrum, just dealing with people where the tail doesn't wag the dog. So in other words, you start off in any business where you just want the customers, you want the clients.
Yeah.
So you're willing to do what you think they want. But the problem
right.
then is that the outcome, as you were saying, it doesn't always work.
Right.
So how hard is it? And what advice have you got for people who are in that stage where they're building something, maybe it's a business like yours, where they feel that customer is sort of tugging them in a direction that they don't necessarily want to go?
Yeah. My advice would be stick to your guns and be passionate about what you do and be nice to them, but let them know that you're the expert and that's why they're hiring you, right? Is for that expertise. And what I've found is that if you don't do that, you know, we've got clients that have been with us 9 years, right? And we have clients that haven't been with us 9 years. And some of those people that have left us have been like that. And what I've found is that the people that do push back and want to kind of enforce their own strategies are the people that probably aren't going to be with you long term.
But do they come back ultimately?
I've had several come back. Yes. Yeah.
And which is good because that proves that you are an expert. So, and did you think 12 years ago that you would still be doing this 12 years later? In the same group of people? Or did you have visions of becoming an agency dealing with all sorts of different verticals?
Yeah, well, certainly in the beginning, I didn't have any idea that I was going to niche down That really wasn't had anything to do with any of the business plan. And in fact, our first very business plan was just to be a social media company. And while that's certainly an aspect of what we do, is what we found out is that people don't just want one service from one company and another marketing service from another company. They're really looking for somebody that can handle most of their marketing in one place. And that's where we made that adjustment. But I don't think I was thinking 12 years ahead about anything. So I don't think I am now. So it's kind of like I'm trying to get out of the month to month type thinking versus the hour to hour, I guess.
Like long-term strategies, like next month.
Yeah. Yes. Right, exactly.
But I think that's what you're doing though, is something that is really admirable. In other words, being able to become a specialist in a particular field, because it's so easy to try and be all things to all people. And I think the money is actually finding a niche, or a niche, I believe, as it's pronounced.
Either way, well. Either way.
One of those two things, and just becoming an expert in that area. Because ultimately, you outlive everybody who's tried all sorts of different things, and you develop so much expertise and so much experience based on just real life feedback. And so ultimately, you then become unassailable. So no one is going to have the same amount of experience as you do because they haven't been doing it for as long. So that creates success. I'm going to stop talking now. Sorry.
No, you're right on. That's absolutely correct. And my advice would be anybody that's starting a marketing company like mine right now is find that niche as soon as possible and just go with it. Make it work. You know, dentistry is one of the most competitive places to sell anything to, right? And it's one of the most elusive because you can't just walk in or call a dental practice and talk to the doctor.
Yes.
You've got like three or four gatekeepers that, you know, are trained to keep you out of there. So it's very competitive. It's hard to sell to them. And there's tons of people trying to do it. So I picked one of the hardest ones, but it was a big deal when we niched down and we can really talk results about other dental practices and specific like theirs. And it helps a ton. So my advice would be definitely pick a niche and go for it.
Yes. And also you can then see results. So the most important thing is that as far as the dentist is concerned, when the results start coming in, presumably you get that sort of movement from being sort of skeptical to like, oh my God, you know, please, here's
more. Yeah. Yeah. Because we pick up a lot of clients that have unfortunately been burned by other companies and they haven't gotten the results that they wanted. So it's kind of like the sales process in those first couple of months, the people are kind of like this, right?
Yes, exactly.
In defense mode. And they're like, all right, I've been through this before. I'm not getting burned again type thing. And we've got to work through that. And so we're very transparent with what we do. We have strategies that work short term. And then while we're also waiting for a longer term strategy to take effect. So we have the ability to help bring patients in quickly while we're working on a longer term strategy, which will probably be more cost effective down the road. So and my client success managers, these are the people that take care of our clients. They're awesome. They go over above and beyond just answering questions and making sure they're updated on what's going on. And that's been a huge, huge contribution to our success.
Yes. And you mentioned earlier that obviously dental surgeries are a business. You provide particular service. Do you see yourself expanding within that sort of dental framework to other areas like tax and just general business advice in terms of growth, acquisitions? Or do you think it's what you've got is something that's going to keep you busy forevermore?
Yeah, what we've got now is going to keep us pretty busy. But what I try to do is I've got a podcast show as well. I do on a weekly basis. And what I try to do there is bring in people like you just mentioned, like dental brokers. They help dentists buy and sell practices, right?
Yes.
Or insurance people, or, you know, other people in the industry that can provide great information to my base and, you know, people that potentially are going to hire me. Yes. And so that's how I try to tackle a lot of that. And so we do that weekly podcast show and that helps a ton, but I like to be the innovator, right? I like to be the cool tech guy. And in fact, I was just working on this new software. I just mentioned a little bit of it, where we can actually just send a link to a potential new patient.
Yes.
And they tap on the link and they can use their phone and actually leave a video review for the doctor. And it's cool because we have the doctor shoot a quick little video saying, hey, thanks for doing this. Here's the questions I'm going to ask. And it kind of takes them through step by step. And that's going to be the next cool thing, I think, you know, not just in dental, but I think that's something that can be applied to just about any business. So it's things like that, where I think I'm going to see the growth within dentistry and just kind of adding on and innovating what we have now. The other thing with that is that what we find is sometimes with dental practices is that their front desk are great people, but they've never really been professionally trained on how to deal with new patients that call them and don't already know who they are. So they're just finding them online, right? And so that's a different conversation than when Aunt Betty calls in as a referral, right?
Yes.
So we also have developed an online training course for front desk professionals to go through and teach them on how to close, if you will, more new patients when they call in just asking general questions.
Yes.
So we're trying to go full circle, as you, I believe you said, from, yeah, we'll help you generate more leads and get more patient conversations, but we're also going to help you close those new patients too and actually get their butts in your chair. So,
and that's, again, hugely important part because, as you mentioned earlier, the front desk is mm-hmm. almost like it's a particular breed of person, like a sales prevention officer or a, you know, so you've got to try and unravel decades
yes.
of training that, you know, designed to fend people off rather than
right.
invite them in. So I suppose
exactly.
that's probably the hardest challenge, isn't it? Getting the front desk people to smile or to...
Well, I'll tell you, when we actually help sometimes with hiring. So we'll run Facebook yes, ads yes. trying to get front desk people or hygienists, whatever it may be. And they ask us our opinion on that. And with hygienists, obviously, you got to go to school for that or anything like that. But with front desk people, a lot of times we recommend hiring people with no experience.
Yes.
And they kind of look at us like, are you crazy? I'm like, well,
there's no sort of predetermined right. view of this is how I should act.
Yeah, you can get them cheaper and then you can train them just the way that you want them. And yeah, you got to spend a little bit more time in training. But what we found is that if you have somebody that comes in with 10 or 15 years of experience, it's hard to mold them into the way that you want them and to kind of teach them new tricks, if you will.
Now, do you think that because of the intense sort of personal relationship that the dentist has with the patient at the time that they're doing the surgery and the amount of trust that's involved and the amount of cost that's involved, I mean, these are potentially big ticket deals. These aren't, you know, small purchases, thousands and thousands of dollars. Right. So do you think the marketing that you're bringing to this group is actually at the cutting edge of digital marketing? In other words, yeah. what you're doing over the next sort of few years will trickle down into other verticals that have that same sort of trust requirement.
Yeah, without question. Yeah, I think it already is. There's a fine line between cutting edge and what works, right? And like, for instance, we won't actually deploy any strategy with one of our clients' money without knowing that it's going to be effective. And right now we're testing on our own dime, TikTok.
Yes.
And marketing there. And, you know, there is a segment of the population that it does very well for.
Absolutely.
And we're still trying to figure that out. But we're going to be one of the first dental marketing companies, and there are others, that will go into TikTok and be able to produce results out of it.
Yeah.
And again, that's what I mean. Companies so aren't able to do that.
You're spearheading or you're, I know exactly what you mean. What you don't want to do is have your clients be the guinea pigs because you're right. all about results. But
yep.
I just think, just listening to what you're saying, that there's so many ways that people market their services and it's stale. And what you're doing is
yes.
innovative, is
right.
delivering results. And it's something that is very transferable to other types of businesses, you know, where trust is important, where the ability to train people how to react, where your video concept. So I think that's really interesting.
Yep.
Well, I'm pleased to say, actually, Chris, that we've now graduated to the final part.
Uh-oh.
Of the interview. This is where I ask my quickfire questionnaire.
Uh-oh, I'm in trouble. I didn't study.
These are one-word answers.
Okay, all right.
That's fine. There are 10 questions. Don't worry, it's simple. And we have the power of the edit.
So. Oh, perfect. That's true.
Yeah, exactly. But so anyway, so my 10 questions. Just to wrap up what has been an incredibly interesting interview. Question number one, Chris Pistorius. What is your favorite word?
Favorite word is innovation.
Perfect. Number two, what is your least favorite word?
Anything negative. I just don't like negative people and anything with a negative tone. Take your pick.
I understand. Number three, what are you most excited about right now?
Oh, this business. You know, I went and 12 years ago, I started and hopped out of bed and couldn't wait to get started. And I still have that feeling.
That's great. I mean, so every day you still have that.
Yeah.
That drive and that passion.
Fantastic. Absolutely.
So number four, what turns you off right now?
Negativity. I hate social media. and I'm in the business.
Yes,
the only reason I'm part of social media is because I have to be. But you know, what I've experienced over the last few months with politics and COVID and what I've seen and how other people act is just repulsive and it's horrible. And yeah. And I think that's probably my biggest thing there.
Number five, what sound or noise do you love?
Whenever we bring on a new client, there's a little noise that my contact management software makes. And I always love to hear
ka-ching.
Yeah, well, it's not that, but it's similar. I can't describe it. But
question number six, what noise or sound do you hate?
These guys that have these little, my apologies if you're one of these people, but these people that have these little cars that they've souped up and it sounds like a weed eater, like that. And it's a car that's going by. And it's just, I'm like, what's going on there? So I don't like
I used to do that when I was a kid. I used to drill holes in my exhaust pipe.
Yeah.
You know, but you graduate from that when you're about 16 or something.
Right. But that makes more of a, like a manly grr sound.
Yeah. Yes.
These new things with these little street racers are said they sound like weed eaters. They really do.
So you'll like this. Number seven. What is your favorite curse word?
Wow.
You can plead the fifth if you like.
Yeah, that's a toughie because I can go deep there.
Don't worry. No one listens to this anyway, so we're fine.
I'm going to go with the S word. I use that a lot, it seems like.
Yeah, it's good. I mean, you know, these good multifunctional words. Number eight, what profession other than your own would you like to attempt?
Ooh, I'd like to be a manager of a professional baseball team. I help coach my son's little league team now, and I know that's nowhere near, but and I played baseball in high school and college. I think that's what I'd like to try.
That's fantastic. Number nine, what profession would you not like to attempt?
Geez, anything that's just like a daily grind, I think. Anything in corporate America, I'm pretty anti that, but specifically probably like a management type job.
Can you imagine that? Just, yeah, hell on earth.
I don't think I can do it.
Question 10, the final question. If heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at the pearly gates?
Welcome in would be good, I guess, to hear.
Yeah, that's a start.
Versus you hit the wrong exit, you got to go the other way, I think.
That's brilliant. Well, Chris, thank you so much for being such a brilliant guest. Sure. Final question. How do people get hold of you? What's the best way of contacting you and Kickstart and learning more about how you can benefit their practices and, you know, their businesses generally?
Yeah, the best way is just go to the website, kickstartdental.com. There's several opportunities there to schedule what we call a strategy session. That's kind of our first stop. And you'll actually, it'll be with me personally. I talk to every new client in the very first conversation. And we'll go over some, I have some questions and just kind of see where it goes and see if we might be a good fit for what you're trying to accomplish. So kickstartdental.com.
Fantastic. Good. Thanks once again. It's been an absolute pleasure having you on and look forward to following your progress and staying in touch.
Thanks so much for having me.